So I just tweeted out, I think Najee Harris is an average player. I don't give guaranteed money to average players, just on principle. And then you know what the next thing I did, Doran?
What was that?
Click, scroll down, block notifications, click. And you'll get certain people, and hey, you can totally disagree on the Najee Harris thing. I ain't going to scream at anybody. That's fine. But certain people will go to bat for Steelers players no matter what. They love the guy. They'll overvalue him. Like, we talked about it yesterday. Like, he's not a great player. I think good things are going to happen for him this year behind what should be a more athletic, much more talented offensive line in a good scheme. But my whole thing on Najee is, if he's average, I think you can plug a lot of guys in there to get the same kind of production. Now, his durability is a plus, but he only averaged 60 yards a game last year. Jaylen Warren averaged, 40-some yards a game?
Yeah.
Okay, durability is great, but I can't find two people and Najee not part of the equation that can carry that kind of load. I think I can. We'll see what they do. 4 o'clock today is the deadline, and Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, joins us right now to discuss. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net, though I have blocked the notifications. Hi, Jeff. Oh,
yeah,
no.
I'm surprised we are here at deadline day.
Jeff, where are you? You look, the birds are chirping. There looks like beautiful trees in the background.
You know, it's normally so much earlier where it's a little chillier, but I decided to go outside. So
you are surprised,
yeah,
that they haven't picked up the option yet with today being deadline day?
I am surprised. I thought this was a foregone conclusion. I mean, it's $6.7 million, which, you know, in the NFL world is not much at all. So I thought this was something that was going to be a slam dunk. Boy, the birds really love the show.
They sure did. I think you're right. 6.7 and change, whatever it is not a ton of money. I'm wondering how this administration views him compared to the last. I mean, obviously, Kevin Colbert was the GM when he was drafted in the first round. I think we're going to learn a lot today about Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, these guys, about how they view the running back position. I mean, shoot, they were going to pay Le'Veon Bell. They just needed him to sign on the dotted line. But that's not really the way of the NFL world anymore.
No, and even that contract looks crazy high, even though it was that long ago,
yeah,
for a running back. So that did not age well as far as that contract. You'd think the style of offense, I mean, this would be the best offensive line that Najee would play in front of. It's an offensive coordinator that appreciates a good run game. I mean, he's not, I wouldn't say Najee's a game breaker. I think that's fair to say. But the guy's been durable. I mean, he's battled through injuries. He's played every game. It seems like he runs better in the second half of a season. And maybe with this, you know, new leadership on offense, new mentality on offense, new offensive coordinator, some of the things that he has been vocal about getting that attitude in the right place, it seems like that would be there where he'd want it. I mean, it seems to set up that it would be a really good 2 years for Najee, and then you could, you know, move on if you wanted to after the fifth.
Jeff, do you think that Jaylen Warren can be an every down back?
You know, I would say that, and Jaylen would say, well, I could do anything, and he could, and he's proven he can do a lot of things. I think in today's NFL, you want multiple backs. Now, could you put Patterson as a running back? You could. I mean, he had nearly 700 yards with Arthur Smith just a couple of years ago. I don't know if I think I want him as a tandem more so than being a lead. Not that he couldn't get the majority of carries, but I want somebody with him. Just because I think in the league today, you rarely see guys that just handle the rock by themselves. I mean, it's very few exceptions.
Just making sure I hear you right on all this, if you were in Omar Khan's shoes, you would pick up the option.
I would pick up the option. It's not cost prohibitive. I think he's been, I mean, I know 1,000 yards isn't quite the level that it was, you know, back in the day, but he's had 3,000 yard seasons. It seems like he tries to pull in the right direction, even though there's some stuff here and there every once in a while. I think he could be a part of a better offense, and it's not something that's going to break your bank.
Jeff, do you believe that Dan Moore Jr. will start the season at left tackle?
As of now, I do.
Wow.
Given what we've seen from Mike Tomlin over the last few years, and with the exception of Najee, of waiting to have rookie guys, well, and Kendrick Green, because out of pure necessity, go in there and start right away. Now, once camp starts and Faltano is just killing it, which I would expect he does on either side of the ball, I think that could change. But given what we've seen over the last few years, I would say that Dan Moore at least is going to be given, at least at the start of OTAs and minicamp, he's going to be that starting tackle. And then we'll see how that develops. But I think it's a good possibility, yes.
If they do that, I really wouldn't have that big of a problem if it's the way that you've described, Jeff, where you would give Faltanu the opportunity to prove himself. Like, even if you want to go ceremonially putting Dan Moore Jr. as your starting left tackle and then make the rookie take the job, I'm okay with that so long as you actually do give him the opportunity to take the job. What kind of bird is that, Jeff? Do you know?
I don't know. It is damn loud.
It really is.
I think that bird's got a hot take right now. We just
don't
understand what it is.
You don't.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm afraid that its next move is just going to be to fly over and release on me.
I've heard that's good luck, but I can't see how that would be good luck when a bird
goes
poo-poo.
It's kind of like raining on your wedding day, how that's supposed to be good. No, that's just trying to mask the fact that you had rain on your wedding day.
Exactly. I had a buddy, we were walking on the boardwalk at Cape May, and a bird pooped on his shoulder. And his mom said, "No, honey, that's ice cream. Don't worry about that," because he was getting all frazzled. Took a finger, put it on the shoulder, and before he got it into his mouth, his mom was like, "No, it's bird poop, it's bird poop." Could have been a disastrous situation for my friend Peter. Moving on.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So the Pirates stink right now. They're 14-18. They find themselves in last place in the NL Central. And we started the show with this talk, Jeff. Like, is it the approach at the plate being handed down from Derek Shelton and Andy Haynes? Or, and I hope it's not this, are the guys they thought would be good just not that good?
Unfortunately, I think it's too simple to just say why, if you just got rid of Andy Haynes, that everything is going to magically be better. And, you know, the approach under Haynes worked early in the season. I think it's this. I look at, say, Connor Joe. His at-bats look different than other guys right now. Why is that? Is he bucking the trend? Is he doing something against what Andy Haynes wants? I think the philosophy is flawed. I think that is part of the problem here. But I also think there's some culpability with these players. I mean, these aren't high school players. These aren't even college players where you can make excuses for. These are grown men that are getting paid that aren't hitting the ball. I mean, up and down the lineup, really, with the exception for the most part of Connor, they just have, I mean, in that Monday game, pitcher's wild as hell in the first inning. And O'Neill Cruz goes fishing for a ball at his ankles. Like, are you going to blame Haynes, or is Cruz have to know, you know, with he had one strike on him. Like, you got to wait for a pitch you can drive. You can't go fishing at your ankles. I mean, those are things that aren't Andy Haynes' fault. That being said, something's got to change. Did a story on our website right now about at least guys you could call up.
Yes.
Is obviously one of them, but there's more. I mean, make some change, turn over the roster, make guys uncomfortable in that room. They've just got to do something because, you know, you like this team. You think it might have the possibility to be in the conversation in September. And are we going to do the same thing that we did with the Penguins and look back at these games early in the season and say, damn, they wasted some great opportunities?
Man, I hadn't thought of it like that, and it just makes me kind of nauseous over here. Do you think that a DFA could be in the future for Rowdy Tellez? I mean, I see the way Lamb is hitting at AAA. I'd like to see him come up here. I don't know that you'd need to be tied to Rowdy Tellez. I don't want to see anybody, you know, lose their job. But You're right. You're 14-18. It gets late real early here when you look at Chicago or 7 games above .500. You look at Milwaukee, they're 8 games above .500.
You know, if it's not Lamb, move Triolo over to first. Play Connor Joe a lot more at first base and bring up Gonzalez or Peguero. They're both hitting well down there. And I think Jiwon Bae could be a part of your future here soon. I could understand maybe giving him a few more games. But the guy, what was he, 4 for 5 yesterday? He gets on base. Even if he doesn't steal, he makes pitchers think because of his speed. I realize all those guys didn't have great seasons last year. But if you're hanging on to Michael A. Taylor and Rowdy Tellez because and that's stopping you from bringing these guys up, with every passing day and every passing offensive struggle, why not take a chance with the younger kid? Why are you committed to these guys because they're veterans?
Jeff, I know that O'Neill Cruz is struggling right now, but for the long run, are you worried about him? Are you worried about him not transpiring into the guy that we all thought that he could be?
A little bit. I realize he missed all of last season, but it's been a month. And he just, I mean, he could, I'm not saying he can't find it, but there's, I have where I had no concern after spring training. There's a little bit of concern right now that he just hasn't, you know, to use the old hurdle term, he hasn't punched back the way you'd like to see him as pitchers have adjusted to him. Hopefully he could find it. I mean, we've seen some better hitting, but I think it's also a mentality that's got to change with him, knowing when he needs to drive a ball. Instead of these, you know, it's nice to flick a ball into left field when you're down 2 strikes, but, you know, he just isn't driving the baseball. And as we see from this lineup right now, they need O'Neill Cruz to drive the baseball.
Jeff, we appreciate you being light on your feet here and moving to 9 o'clock because we have you every Thursday at 7:35. Had to move some things around today, so we appreciate that. Could you, even if you got other stuff to do, can you just leave that on so it sounds like we're broadcasting right from the aviary?
Nice.
I don't know if I've ever seen as many birds. They just really enjoy the show.
It's like a Hitchcock film. We got people texting in that it's a blue jay. They're saying it's a blue jay. Now the dog's coming up. All right, Jeff, thank you for your time as always, buddy. You're the man.
See you guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
That's Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. A lot of people, oh, it's a blue jay. They mimic hawks. All right, thank you. Thank you.
Jeff's at the zoo.
I mean, loud animals. Loud ass bird.
Yeah.
Coming up next, a little bit of breaking Steelers news. Might be big, might not be big. It's not Najee Harris's 5th-year option. We'll get to that. We'll react to some of what Jeff had to say about the lowly Pirates when we come back. Someone's really chapping my behind on the text line saying that I was nice to Hathorn where I was mean to Dulac. Because Hathorn said, yeah, could see Dan Moore Jr. starting OTAs in minicamp as the left tackle, and then you would open it up to competition and let Troy Faltanu really show his stuff. Yeah, that's different than what Dulac said. Dulac said to start the season, he thinks Dan Moore Jr. is going to be their left tackle. So those things are different. Thus, my reaction is different. We also didn't ask Jeff what he would do. We asked Jeff what he thought they would do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also different.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. If it's going to be Dan Moore Jr., day one OTAs, a ceremonial thing, earn your stripes, Rook. Okay, fine. Just really give him the chance to earn his stripes. And give him a chance to really beat him out. Like, let it be a true competition. Don't let it be a fait accompli that because Dan Moore Jr. has been your starter for the last couple of years, you're going to let him be that guy day one. Because Faltanu is not the same prospect Broderick Jones is. Broderick Jones was a project. Faltanu's not. He started 27 games at left tackle.
Only way I could see that happening is if they do want to trade him and get him film for this year. So say it's like, yeah, well, he did so good in training camp. He did so good, and then he's in preseason and maybe starts the first game, and then you trade him. Or maybe just in preseason to have him as a starter so it looks like he's a, you know, a starting caliber player.
Mm-hmm.
Put that on film, and then you have trade.
I am always surprised how many GMs don't realize they have eyeballs. You know, like all you got to do is put on the tape the last 2 years of Dan Moore Jr. and you're going to go, eh. But that doesn't mean he can't help somebody else, a tackle deficient team. I think there's a chance he gets traded. Maybe even a good one. Happened with Dotson, happened with Kendrick Green. My God, you found a taker for Kendrick Green, for God's sakes. Should be able to find a taker for a two-year starter, more than that, in Dan Moore Jr. Jeff also talked about the Pirates' recent struggles, and we can get into the big picture problems, but I want to start here. You're 14-18. This is a year you're supposed to win games. You are supposed to contend in the NL Central. We have long thought that the winner of the NL Central is going to win maybe 85 games. Well, the Cubs are playing well. The Brewers are playing well. They're coming up on the schedule real quick now. Those teams are 7-8 games above 500, respectively. You can't get wiped in those series. Not if you want this season to mean anything. It gets late real early. So we can talk philosophy. We can talk Andy Haynes. We can talk Derek Shelton. We can talk about whether these players that they think are going to be big time for them are even good players to begin with. And we will get to that. But you need to win right now. And for me, that means you got to start calling guys up from Indianapolis. Catch lightning in a bottle. I said call Lamb up. Make him your first baseman. DFA. Rowdy Tellez. I like Jeff's idea, though, better.
Connor Joe, Triolo?
Just make Connor Joe your primary first baseman.
What did he say about Triolo?
Mix some Triolo in there at first. Yeah.
And Peguero at second.
Nick Gonzalez,
yeah.
Yeah, Peguero is one of the guys who's not crushing the ball in AAA.
Right.
G1 Bay is. Nick Gonzalez is. His OPS is over 1,000. Jake Lamb's OPS is up over 1,000. All these guys can help you right now. And if they don't help you when they come up here, if Nick Gonzalez proves he's a 4A player, okay, so be it. How about you try something here, man? What are you flexing for over there?
I'm stretching.
Oh, you're yawning and stretching. Like what? You want the mic that bad? You're showing me your guns?
Nope.
Okay, my bad. Missed signals there. Classic mix-up. Miscommunication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you wouldn't call on the cavalry. And it's not like Nick Gonzalez is just some schlub. He was bad last year. There's no sugarcoating that, but he was battling for your second base job in spring training. He's a first-round pick. He was taken 7th overall. Is Jared Triolo your long-term answer at second base? Probably not. He's hitting 216. Get Nick Gonzalez up here. Have him start tomorrow at second base, and then here's the other thing they need to do. So I would have Connor Joe in the lineup right now. He's not a long-term answer, but he's hitting the ball.
Yep.
In your lineup every day, don't care righty, don't care lefty, every day Connor Joe's in your lineup. These don't solve all the big issues, but it could stop the bleeding. Every day. If you're going to throw Kutch in there, slide him down the lineup or have him lead off. Why Andrew McCutchen continues to bat in the middle of the order makes zero sense to me. I would have Lamb play first base, and I would have G1 Bay come in, and I would send Alika Williams down to AAA. And I know Alika's hit well, and he's a slick fielder, but at some point soon, he's going to turn into a pumpkin, and I'm afraid they're going to start overplaying him because he has helped them out. He's been one of their few consistent bats. Send him down, bring G1 Bay up, and get his speed on the base paths.
Where's G1 Bay playing? Right?
Yeah, you could play him in the outfield. You could play him at, we've seen him in the middle infield too. I mean, I think he profiles, I would rather him play the outfield.
You said bring Lamb up, and then, but you also said start Connor Joe.
Yeah, so get Kutch out of the lineup for now then.
Okay.
And if, yeah, I mean, just find a way to get all these guys in there. What they're doing right now is just, I mean, it's not working. You score 3 runs in a series against the A's when all of their starting pitchers had an ERA above 5? What? Bob Smyzik tweeted this out, and I'm just going to preface this by saying, like, man, do you know what they have at catcher right now? Smyzik says expectations for Grandal might be way too high. In his prime, he was a very good offensive catcher, but he's not in his prime. Previous 2 seasons, he was 219, 305, 306 with a 611 OPS, which is awful. Okay, Henry Davis is hitting 160. And you're to the point now where you don't feel comfortable playing him every day. So when he is playing, he sucks. And he's not playing a fair amount. You still need your 1-1 guy to develop. And while I was totally against him starting the season in AAA, I would be real mad if he's their starting catcher tomorrow night. Get Grandal up here. get a new first baseman, get Jiwon Bae, get Nick Gonzalez, and just see what the Indianapolis Indians could do for a weekend. I'm serious. Because the philosophy, they're not going to fire Andy Haynes. So the philosophy is not going to change overnight. And this doesn't solve their long-term issues, not by a long shot. But for God's sake, can you please do something so that 14 and 18 doesn't turn to 18 and 32? Anyway, I've said my piece on that.
Do we know that the philosophy is not coming from Shelton?
No.
Can we just read between the lines, I guess? I mean, going back to Andy Haynes' career, I mean, he rattled off those stats the other day. I guess you could just say that. But then Shelton would have to sign off on it.
Yeah, they want Andy Haynes to be their hitting coach. So I'm guessing that the philosophy is one that is shared between he and Shelton.
Yeah, he agrees.
They're not going to fire Shelton. They're not going to fire Andy Haynes.
No.
I just don't know how you can look at what's gone on here and not think that it's the philosophical approach that's doing them in, when it's not just a guy or two that's struggling. It's everyone not named Connor Joe. Even Key Brian Hayes, who has been mostly consistent, is hitting for zero power. And he was a guy that was hitting for power in the last 2 months last year. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sufficiently depressed now.
Me too.
I thought this would be the year. Hey, 32 games. There's a lot of season left to go. Teams are going to go through their struggles. There's no doubt. However, I'll keep saying it, it could get late early. If you are 18 and 32 or something like that, ship has sailed. It's over. Coming up next, I forgot. Steelers breaking news. It's kind of a big deal. I got so jacked up about the Pirates. We'll tell you what they're doing and how big it might be when we come back. Working on a big-time guest for tomorrow. I put it at 50% that we get this person. You are still screwing up with those headphones over there, man. How is it that we are four? You've been here for 6 hours. What is going on?
I don't know. Just trying to figure it out.
So we got new headphones. Is it pairing to your phone Bluetooth?
Yes.
And you don't want it to be pairing to your phone right
now? No, I do, because I need to pair it, and I think I figured it out just now, but I need to pair it to my phone so I can access the settings of how to control, because there's a little bit of an echo whenever I talk, and it sounds tinny.
Oh, so you will pair it to your phone, and then you'll be able to
control the
settings up on your phone.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure that out, because I don't like the way it sounds. But right now, it sounds pretty good.
The breaking Steelers news is that finally, and I just saw this on Steelers Depot, I want to give them proper credit, that the Alex Highsmith contract restructuring has now showed up in the NFL database. And so it had not been made official through that database until this morning. I don't know that means it would have held up anything in regards to trade talks, but I would
think so.
Yeah.
If they're making a big deal, that it's like, oh, now it's live. It's real. It's legal. So now we can make a move.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
And it might make sense as to why then that they haven't done anything to this point.
It's like it's like depositing a check into your account. It takes 3 to 5 business days mm-hmm. to clear.
Oh, my God. We were going over our budget last night.
That's the worst.
Mind-melting stuff.
The worst.
Can I ask you a personal question?
No. Yes.
Are you in charge of the bills, or is that Rochelle?
Half and half.
Half and half. Automatic payment, or?
Yep.
Yeah. It's 2024.
Right.
I can't imagine you running the mortgage check down to the office.
No, I hate to have to talk to people mm-hmm. about that.
My or aunt even does call that. People. My aunt does that now. She writes a check, and every month drives it and drops it. That's like 35 minutes away, too. I mean,
less contact, the better for me. Even like whenever I DoorDash or...
Yes.
Or, you know, Uber Eats, like, leave it at my doorstep and get the you-know-what out of here, like Home Alone.
Yes, yes, please.
Leave it on the doorstep and get the bleep out of here. Like, that's me. Like, I don't want to see you.
In 10 seconds.
I peek out of the window.
You're yellow.
Yeah. I peek out of my son's window to see whenever they pull away to go get my food. That's how bad I am.
Yeah, I don't like to talk to people unless I know them. Or if they're listeners of the show, obviously, I'll talk to you when we see you in the wild. Yeah, take a guess. Do I pay the bills or not?
No.
No. I'm bad with math, horrendous with math, horrendous with keeping on track of things. So that's why we're having these meetings now monthly, these budget meetings, because I'm just going to spend money left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now I have new responsibilities on my plate. I've got to be an adult now, Doran.
Proud of you.
Thank you very much. So I do think that that news is at least something, that the Alex Highsmith restructure now just becomes official. And then we had Brian McFadden on last night with Matt Cole, and he said that the significant player tweet that he sent out there, he heard it from a guy who heard it from a guy who heard it from a guy, basically. Well, okay, but that guy also told Brian McFadden that the Steelers were going to trade for Justin Fields, and then bang, lo and behold, they trade for Justin Fields. The reason I'm bringing Brian McFadden back into this, now tying it with the now official news that Alex Highsmith's contract has been restructured, Brian McFadden unsolicited last night brought up a name, a guy the Steelers could be interested in, and that's Terry McLaurin. He of the Washington Football Commander Redskins, who the last 4 years has had over 1,000 yards a season each of those four seasons. I think he is as close to a Deontay Johnson as you would find out there.
Yep.
And I think he would be a perfect complement for George Pickens. He's not a name we've heard. It's been DK Metcalf and Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and Cortland Sutton. Devontae Adams was even thrown in there for a hot second. Justin Jefferson was thrown in there for like less than a hot second. We've talked about Tyler Boyd. Caboli says there's a less than 1% chance of that happening. Odell Beckham Jr. gets brought up yesterday by Mike Florio on the PM team. But this is the first we've really heard about Terry McLaurin. Now, he's 28 years old, so he's a couple years older than Brandon Ayuk. I wouldn't turn my nose up at any of these guys. If it's Terry McLaurin, let's go, sign me up.
I love that. I love that Terry McLaurin, like he kept his head down in bad situations, bad quarterbacks. But if it was him, I would be extremely happy. But another thing that I'm taking from Brian McFadden as well, what was his – so his first tweet was like, "Oh, Omar got something," you know, the whole tweet, right? And then he went dark for a little bit. What was his first tweet back? What did he say? Do you remember? His first tweet that he had after that.
Doran, you know what he's done?
What?
He deleted the tweet.
Hmm.
It's gone. He deleted the tweet. He didn't like the smoke. I didn't know that until this second. We were referencing it this morning. The tweet was out there this morning. It's gone now. Oh, new Steelers breaking news.
So the second tweet that he had was be patient, right?
Yes. Yes. He replied to somebody and said, be patient, basically alluding to it's still coming down the pike.
So I tend to believe that there's a deal that is about to be signed, but they had to be patient for that money to clear.
Could be. And he's not the only guy on this. You know, Shefty has linked the Steelers to wide receiver trade talks. We've heard a lot of guys do it. CT, ESPN has been all over this. And somehow CT, ESPN has called some shots this offseason that have actually gone down. And then you just use your mind, you use your common sense. And the Steelers had Mike Williams come in they wanted him to come in for a visit. The Jets signed him. Like, they want another receiver. They want one. No doubt about that. There are a couple of different avenues. You could go the free agent route, even though none of those names are necessarily sexy. I'm wondering if this was the next shoe to drop, which just cleared and was made official this morning, and now we might get some movement there. We'll see. Pony had the DK Metcalf thing shot down. He said he got four separate texts, so it's not going to be DK Metcalf. Caboli said it's not going to be Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd, I guess, is not a huge fan of Omar Khan right now, so that might have been squashed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Terry McLaurin as my betting favorite. My own personal betting favorite here.
I like it.
I just don't know why McFadden would just throw that name out there. Just kind of out of the blue. If maybe that wasn't the name that was tossed out to him. McLaurin's cap number, someone tweets in, is $24 million. I'm guessing you would extend him, thus bringing the cap hit down.
Yes.
Spreading it over a few years.
Yes.
And they've got money to work with now. More on this story as it develops. But coming up next, we've got social media's biggest loser, a really easy one today. It's brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com, and we'll make two predictions when we come back as well. Might have a big time guest tomorrow. I'm going to go 50-50 on that. We'll tell you about who that is if and when it's all nailed down. So pay attention to our social media channels at underscore Adam Crowley, at Score and Doran, and at Callas, C-A-L-L-A-S, underscore 33.
How'd you spell it before?
C-A-L-L-A-S-S. Callas.
Mm.
The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. This might be the easiest social media biggest loser of all time. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Could it be anybody other than Coach Prime?
No.
What a jackass. We knew that. Like, he's going to be himself. I think they knew what they were getting into bed with. Colorado did. And they were selling out games last year. They sold out the spring game last year. We saw the attendance in that this year dwindle a bit. But, man, I thought that the winning would come. And I know it was only one season. And it actually was, remarkably, because of how bad they were before and improvement from one year to the next. But he's not getting high school recruits. It doesn't sound like he's putting in much legwork at all in recruiting. And now what he's gotten to doing is he's crushing former players on Twitter. Bad look?
I mean, very bad look. Just like Pat said, this is going to end in flames. He's all about himself. He always has been. Now he's all about himself and his kids. You know, this was the opportunity to have the control for his sons. Now, I don't hate that. I mean, as a dad, you want to do the best for your kids.
Sure.
But you're running a football program, and why would you discredit or embarrass or diminish any other young kid trying to get an opportunity?
For example, sophomore cornerback who transferred out of Colorado wound up at Austin Peay. He had 8 solo tackles, 4 passes defensed last year. And somebody tweeted out his stats. Coach Prime quote tweeted it and just went, "Lawd Jesus, L-A-W-D, Jesus." I don't know why you got to do that. I mean, you already kicked these guys off your roster. Right. Why you got to dunk on them, man?
No point of it. Mm-hmm. It's a shame.
It really is. And Pitt just had a recruit go there, didn't they?
Yeah, Dan Hayes.
I know Pat Narduzzi cares about his guys.
No doubt.
Like, actually cares about his guys.
And these situations are, like, making it tough for guys like Pat Narduzzi, because it's not about, like, players don't care about programs. Players don't care about teammates. They care about other things. And Prime is letting players know that if you come here, you will get all this stuff outside of what football is really about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very enticing to a young mind, a young athlete that's 18, 19, 20 years old.
There were 2 other players that came out, and I saw the pull quotes from a story. They said Deion didn't even know their names. Like, they played on the team. That Deion will call all of his players children of Deion, except for his actual children, who he will call by their real name. Like, that's not a guy that has anything on his mind but advancing himself and then, yeah, trying to win football games. But, man, culture still has a role in all this. Of course it does. I can't imagine that culture out there is all that good. And so Deion Hayes leaves, and he goes out to Colorado, and he said Pitt ain't going to win. Pitt went 3-9. They went 4-8.
Right.
Are they going to win 6 games this year? They going to win 7? They ain't winning 8 or 9. You ain't winning anything of substance, and you're jumping to another good conference in the Big 12. I was rooting for Deion because I like chaos and I want to see weird things work. I thought it would work. Now I'm totally on the other side. Prediction time, Doran?
Sure.
Najee Harris, they picking up the 5th-year option, yes or no?
Yes.
I think so too, but it's close to call. It is close to call. If it were Kevin Colbert, I'd say 100% it would have been done already. I'm really interested to see how Omar Khan views the running back position. Because I view Kevin as more of an old school guy. I view Omar as more of a new school kind of dude. And the new school of thought is, don't pay running backs. Don't draft running backs in the first round. So we'll see. I'm leaning yes, though. Are the Pirates going to make any roster moves before tomorrow night's game?
Yes.
I think so, too. Can I tell you why?
Why?
Neil Walker's going to join us tomorrow. I gave him the option of joining us today. He said, how about Friday? Because there could be some roster moves.
Oh, well, there you go.
So there you go. Neil, a great guest. We've got another one potentially lined up. Like I said, follow us on social media, and we'll let you know about that at some point today. We're handing things over to Joe Starkey and Paul Zeiss coming up next. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, SunChevy.com. Today, high 83, low 59.